Welcome back to the Lipscomb Pitts Breakfast Club Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Park. As we mentioned, the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services is a big part of today's program. We're joined by the Executive Director, Chris Howard, as well as Carla Paradine, the Facility Manager for AbilityWorks in Olive Branch. And we'll make sense of that as we get through this interview. But how are you two doing?
Fantastic. Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So let's start with you, Chris, and being the executive director of the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services, give us some context. Go ahead and describe the work you do overall. And I know you have a number of programs. We'll kind of take those in pieces, but overall, describe the work you do.
Okay. We're such a great agency. We have about 1,000 employees statewide, and our ultimate goal is to provide services to individuals with disabilities. We have four major programs. We have the Office of Vocational Rehab and the Office of Vocational Rehab for the Blind. And the main goal of these two programs is to provide services to individuals with disabilities to help them, you know, maintain or retain full-time employment. I mean, the goal there is to work with our clients, our consumers, and find out their employment goal and help them reach that goal so they be successful and, you know, have an income for, you know, their families and themselves. So,
and obviously, when you look at statewide, I mean, there are certain areas of the state that are going to have more need than maybe others just based on population size. Talk about just kind of the intricacies of working statewide and being able to kind of build out this network, but also to provide equitable services in each of those areas.
Yeah, like I said, we have about 1,000 employees statewide in the vocational rehab, and vocational rehab for the blind is probably about 350 of the 1,000. And like you said, they range from Corinth all the way down to Gulfport. And we have district managers and regional managers, and you know, their responsibility is to look at the area and kind of see what kind of industry we have in there and see what is a good employment goal for our consumers. It's extremely important that, you know, we sit down with the consumer, the client, and not only do we, you know, help provide those services, but we also talk to them about their employment goal. So it's extremely important that our staff across the state knows about the employment opportunities that are, you know, in the various parts of the state,
right,
and can really work with that client or consumer to help them, you know, reach that goal.
Well, and what you do is very relational. It's on the front end of, you know, kind of sitting down with them and assessing the abilities and where they want to go. And then also, too, on the other side, knowing all the different opportunities and the different jobs and the different individuals within those companies and saying, hey, how can we partner up and make the best, make it a true success for everyone all the way around. So it's very relational, the work you do. Talk about where it starts. I mean, on your end, how do the relationships begin? Is it mostly through referrals? Is it word of mouth and just visibility and people coming to you? Talk about where the relationship starts.
It's really twofold. You know, we do get referrals from doctor's offices, different kind of medical organizations will refer clients to us. And then also a lot of times it's the client themselves or a family member coming to our district office and meeting with our staff. You know, in addition to that, we have a business development unit, and that business development unit across the state is responsible for working with employers. You know, it's extremely important that our counselors work with our consumers, but it's also important that we have, you know, a job placement opportunity for those clients once they reach their, you know, their rehab, the end of the rehab process.
Right.
So through the business development, these are the folks who are actually going out and meeting with employers, creating those relationships, you know, determining what those employers need. So like I said, once that client is ready to go to work, then hopefully we will have a job opportunity available, you know, for that client to take advantage of. In addition to that, we also have the AbilityWorks facilities. We have 16 workshops throughout the state, and one of them being in Olive Branch, which is where Carla is. And you know, the goal there is for the client to come in and work through the workshop. And I don't want to steal her thunder. I'm going to let her talk about
that. Right.
But these 16 facilities are extremely important to the mission of the Voc Rehab Agency to, you know, ensure that those clients do receive those skills that they need to be successful in employment. So,
yeah. So, Carla, that's an easy transition over on your end. But when you talk about AbilityWorks, give us an idea, because you cover a lot of bandwidth in terms of the services and kind of what you work on, so to speak. So give us some of your background.
Well, the AbilityWorks facility in Olive Branch primarily works with DeSoto, Tunica, Marshall County, which is a very large geographical area. We are extensions of the schools in all of those counties. And I know that the occupational degree program in the schools is going away. So when we work with kids with special needs from those schools, what each school will do is the school buses will come up. We have a facility where it's essentially a training and an evaluation facility. What we do is we have work with Grainger, AutoZone, Terex, International Paper, all the local companies, the buzzwords that we all know around here, which support us. And we have projects in the facility where we do work for these companies. And what it does is that work helps us to put these students to work and evaluate what they can and cannot do. Now, the other part is that we can figure out and help the student figure out is what they want to do. Because when you're, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, you don't have exposure to many things, and this provides an exposure. So that's one thing that we can do. Now, the other thing we can do, which we're helping our younger clients with, is helping them get their learner's permit. Mm. A big piece of independence is having wheels.
Right.
And so whether or not they're capable of buying a car, it gives them a bit of being involved in the community. What we've found in research and studies is that if you grab students at this age, at the ages before they turn 21, 22, 23, 24 years old, because once they exit the high school and sit on the couch and the parents don't know what to do with them, if we get them earlier, that's not going to happen. They're going to become a productive piece of society. They're going to be able to contribute to society, and they'll have their independence. So that's what we do. We help with driver's permits, but we also work with soft skills, how to talk to an employer.
Right.
The biggest problem with a lot of students and younger population is they don't know how to talk to their boss.
Well, it's etiquette, it's conflict resolution, it's leadership, it's taking initiative. There's so many things that go with that. So I want listeners to step back. So imagine if you have a disability. I mean, blindness is a perfect one, but people automatically, sadly, kind of check them out. And so they don't have the opportunities many times to have a real job, to have their driver's license and permit, to have the freedom and to be proactive and be productive. And so you're giving them this opportunity to step in, to learn real-world job skills, to learn the employability skills and everything we're talking about, and to have meaningful employment. And I think just the self-confidence alone on that front for the families, but also for the individual, is huge. And so, it's doing things like packaging and sorting. And to your point, it's trying to figure out, okay, what are you good at? What skills do you have? And how can we make that a blessing? How can we make that an opportunity so that you can use that to the best of your ability and take the next step with where you want to go? Mm-hmm. And so give listeners an idea of some of the things that you do there at Ability Works.
Oh, well, besides the training and the evaluation that we do, one of the biggest things that we do is I always give this example, and please, McDonald's, I'm sorry. If someone says, hey, I want to work at Burger King, I'll go to the Burger King location where they can get to, and I'll say, Burger King manager, this person wants to work there. Do you have a job open? Now, we have a federally funded program where I can pay their salary, and that is does two things. It helps the student determine if they want to do that job, but then the Burger King manager can tell me, can they do that job? So once we evaluate them in our facility and we move them into the community to test them on a job that they think they might want to do, that's a good learning situation. Now, the restaurant's not, they don't have to hire this person, but if they do have a job and they might, then they can. So that's things that we do. The goal is to find them employment.
Right.
Now, we have other people that have, they might have had a heart attack and they were a plumber and they can't work as a full-time plumbing job. But we found them jobs. I mean, one was at the Nissan plant. And they love him because he's a jack of all trades.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, we get out in the community and it's always individualized. Everybody's different. Everybody has different circumstances. So everything we do is individualized, and it's based on what that person wants to do or thinks they might want to do.
So let's bounce it back to you, Chris. Obviously, we're covering a wide variety here, but talk about how the public can help. Because, already there's easy things that come to mind, like hiring. For those that are in the corporate sector saying, hey, I've got opportunities that I think would be a great fit. So having you literally come through the doors and figure out how you guys can work together and form a partnership. But, when you look at coming on the radio show and really talking about the work you're doing, obviously raising awareness. But the second piece of that is, how can we help? So what are some other things that stand out to you as ways we can help?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways that the public can help. The first thing, of course, is referrals. We do, you know, always accept referrals. We're always looking for individuals that we can provide assistance to. One of the things Carla mentioned earlier is, you know, the plans for each individual is individualized. You can't just do a cookie cutter approach and right. you know, help everyone across the state. You know, when a client comes in, our counselor sits down with that client and they create what we call an IPE, which is an individualized plan for employment. And the counselor goes through there and determines exactly what that individual client needs in order to be successful.
Where the training kicks in. So once they figure out if there's deficiencies, then you can start putting them in to kind of build them up, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. And, you know, when you look at outside our agency, you know, we are very big on partnerships. You know, we partner with other state agencies, the Department of Mental Health, the Department of Health, the Department of Human Services, the Division of Medicaid. You know, we do partner with those agencies to provide the best services we can to individuals with disabilities. And we also partner with other disability organizations. There are a lot of organizations out there that you know, do help individuals with disabilities, and it's important for us to partner with them to share ideas, share resources, just to ensure that the individuals all across the state with disabilities do receive the proper services and have every opportunity they can to go back to work.
How much of your, because, you know, it's definitely an undercurrent for sure, but advocacy, you know, so much of this too is raising awareness and saying, you know what, just because someone, you might see them having a disability, but the reality is they have great ability.
Right.
And so by giving them these opportunities and putting them in the workplace where people can work side by side and realize, wait a second, we're all the same. I feel like there's a kind of an undertow here of a lot of advocacy and just, you know, respect and integrity just across the spectrum of what you do.
Right. There, advocacy is a big part. You know, we want to get out there. We want to meet with the various, you know, disability groups, like I said, employers. You know, I mentioned earlier, we have a business development unit. And, you know, part of their responsibility is to go out and meet with employers. I mean, you know, sometimes employers are a little apprehensive about hiring someone with a disability just because they may have never had someone with a disability in the workforce before. So, you know, it's important for our staff to get out there and talk to the employers and explain to them about, you know, assistive technology that we can provide, supported employment. There are also tax incentives that employers can take advantage of for hiring an individual with a disability. So, you know, it's extremely important that these individuals, as well as folks like Carla, the facility managers, you know, work with the employers in their areas to kind of, you know, lessen that fear that
right.
an employer has about hiring someone with a disability. And like you said, to focus really hard on the ability that
right.
the person has and not totally focus on what we say the disability.
Well, and I think it makes a strong statement too, where it's one thing if an individual is going to the company, but you're coming to them as a large entity saying, hey, we've got their back. You know, it's someone that's gone through our program. We've created this plan for them. We know where they stand. We know what their capabilities are. We think it's a good fit. You're vouching for them. You've got your brand kind of with them. And you can say, look, you know, if it doesn't work out, we've got the ability to step in and make it work one way or the other. And I think that sort of, it makes a very strong statement where for the company, especially, it's like, wait a second, this is an easy move. This is a great opportunity for us to work together to really do something special. And I mean, I'm telling you, for the companies that have that take that step, it's such a positive influx of energy within their own team that corporate culture-wise, it becomes contagious. I mean, I've got so many friends on Facebook that, you know, the world sees them having a disability, but all of a sudden they get this amazing job and the whole company loves them and they're like a celebrity and it completely changes the corporate culture. So it's absolutely amazing. So much love. What's a proud moment? When you look at, obviously, the work you're doing, what stands out is kind of a great story that really illustrates the work you do?
Oh, I have one in particular. There was a young gentleman that his parents had him at another facility, and they didn't like it. And they brought him up to our place. And I gave him a tour and showed him what we do. And they were hesitant to bring him there because they said they didn't know that we could do what he needed. And I said, well, I would love for you to give us a try. I can't pressure anybody to do anything. And long story short, they did. We have a relationship with a restaurant in Olive Branch. And this young man wanted to work in the restaurant. So we got him a job and they actually hired him in this restaurant. He's doing prep in the back. Now, this is someone that you or I would think, and a lot of people said, he's never going to work. And he is now working at this restaurant. Well, I just saw his daddy, this year. And he's still working there. And the family is so excited that we were capable of doing this for him. The reward for me is when the parents come to me and thank me for helping their child. And that's the biggest thing that I could ever do. And it's just a huge blessing that I'm able to do what I do, because it's the most important thing. And, you know, when you see a child, I call them children, they're not, but when you see a young person light up because they got their driver's permit, it's huge when you're 17 or 18 to have your permit, you know, because all your other friends are getting them and whatever, and you fit into that.
You have the independence.
Society. Yeah, well, you just fit into the society. And what I want to tell everybody out there is there's this huge stigma, and that's what we battle. And the battle is that if you knew the word disability comes out of your mouth and people formulate in their minds something really horrible, and it's not. These are people just like you and me. They're individuals. They have talents and skills that we don't have. And I, you know, we try to bring those out. And, you know, a lot of some of the cognitive skills that we have, disabilities that we have out there, there's a lot of social skills lacking. Now, what I want to say to employers is that's a great thing for you because they're not going to be goofing off. They're going to stay on task. And, you know, the worst thing that's going to happen is they might get a reputation in the business that they're stuck up or something, but they don't have a need or a want to be chatty. And so people just have to understand, you know, and I think with this generation coming up on their smartphones and always doing that, I think there's a lot of people that are okay with people not being chatty.
Right. They want them to be working and focused.
So with a lot of the intellectual disabilities that we have, you know, that's what we find. And a lot of it is basically reading and math skills are lacking. Now, that does not mean they don't have to work. So that's the biggest thing that we see from the schools.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up by telling listeners where they can learn more. Where do you direct them? Because obviously you've got a lot of places, Facebook, Twitter, your website, even YouTube. But tell listeners where they can go to find more information.
Probably the biggest part is our website. It's mdrs.ms.gov. Our state office is in Madison, Mississippi, and the phone number there is 601-853-5100. And also, I'd encourage people to look at our YouTube. Go to YouTube, type in the Mississippi Department of Rehab Services, the story, you know, that Carla talked about. We have so many great stories across the state, and we have a new communications director who's done a fantastic job going across the state and capturing these stories and putting them on YouTube. So, you know, it's a great thing to watch, to see how your tax dollars work and see the changes that, you know, are made in people's lives every day through the services that the Department of Rehab Services provides.
Website again is MDRS, so it's the initials for Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services, mdrs.ms.gov. Chris, Carla, greatly appreciate you guys coming on the show and sharing all the great work you're doing. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having us.
And I do want to add, Carla, thank you for your inspiration as well. When you talk about battling cancer, I know we didn't talk about it, but, you know, kudos to you, and thanks for putting that out there as a source of inspiration.
Well,
appreciate it.
I do want to say, ladies, get your mammograms, please. That's what saved my life.
And let me say this, too. Carla is such a great employee at the Mississippi Department of Rehab Services. I'm going to brag on her for a minute. She goes above and beyond every single day. I mean, you know, her job requirements are not to help consumers get their driver's license, but she has taken that upon herself to sit down with those kids, help them with the driver's test, and really help them get their permit and their license. And, you know, from an employment standpoint, you know, she'll take the kids and get in the van, and, you know, they'll go to the different employers trying to find employment opportunities. So, you know, we are truly lucky to have Carla at the agency, and she does a fantastic job every day.
Well, I love it. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.